Recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 20th of May, 2015. On the call today, we have Chuck Gomes, Cheryl Langenor, Almer Elzar, Alan Greenberg, Greg Shatton, J. Scott Evans, and Tom Barrett. Joining us a little later in the call will be Marika Konings. I show no apologies listed for today's conference. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Amy Bivens, Karen Lund, Barry Cobb, Ozan Sahin, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, J. Scott.
Thank you so very much, Terry. This is J. Scott Evans for the record. I know that we had gotten down to, I think it was Annex F, where there was some discussion, but since then, Almer has looked over some things. He's put in some comments here. So before we go back to where we left off, since some of these are further up in the report, I think the first comment has to do with the definitional section. Why don't we, Almer, if you'll lead us through your comments and tell us exactly what page they apply to so that we can have the text of the report scrolled to that page, that'd be great.
Okay, thanks, J. Scott, this summer. Most of my input is actually feedback on the recording of last week's call. I couldn't attend last week, and when I provided this input, I did it referencing the later draft of the final report that was circulated, I think 2 days ago. So one of the discussions last week was regarding the definition of GNSO, implementation of GNSO policy. And I think the comment was at the time that it should be made clear that when saying GNSO policy in that definition, and this is on page 10 of the draft final report, at the very bottom of the table on that page, implementation of a GNSO policy had previously been defined as the process of carrying out or applying a GNSO policy, and the language that is approved by the ICANN board was added to that in red line. I think some of the discussion last week was about the fact that GNSO policy is actually defined just on the beginning of the next page, and so adding that little phrase that is approved by the ICANN board is somewhat redundant, and I agree with that, but for someone who's reading the final report for the first time, they may not come across this definition in time to catch it in the definition of implementation of a GNSO policy. So I was suggesting, instead of repeating that definition here, why not just move up policy and GNSO policy to perhaps number 3 in the table before GNSO implementation review team, and that way the definition is clear before anyone gets to see that term being used later on in further definitions. But that was just a suggestion. It's not really terribly critical.
All right.
Second.
Well, let's go through. Let's do them one at a time. So I certainly don't have a problem with moving that definition up higher in the table because it is then incorporated into an additional thing. Nor do I have a problem personally with removing the red line language showing on number 4 in the table at the bottom of page 10, the process of carrying out or approving GNSO policy, and the additional language that is approved by the ICANN board, given that it does in fact appear in GNSO policy definition. But I would turn it over to the group and ask that you show me by indication in the Adobe Connect whether that is okay to move that up and take that red line language out, or whether you think it should stay. Chuck agrees. I agree, so I'll do my... Greg, don't see Cheryl or Alan. Do you disagree? If you disagree, could you indicate by disagree? Tom. Tom agrees. Okay, it looks like we've got a consensus that we'll just... So, Mary, if we could make a note to delete that language from the definition, implementation of a GNSO policy, and then move number 5 up above that. So it would be 1 would be GNSO consensus, 2 GNSO consensus policy, 3 would be policy and GNSO policy, 4 would be GNSO implementation review team, 5 would be implementation or implementation of a GNSO policy. I see Chuck has raised his hand. Chuck?
Thanks, Jay Scott. Just if my memory is correct, I think it was Ann that wanted that qualifier in there approved by the ICANN board. Unfortunately, she can't be with us today, but she did indicate that Greg and or Michael would be here from the IPC. Are both of you guys okay with that? I mean, is it an IPC issue, or was it just something for Ann? Greg, you agreed, so I guess we can assume it's okay. I just didn't want to, since she can't be on the call, I at least wanted to raise that point. As you've seen, I'm fine with it, but I didn't want to slight the point, the suggestion she made last week. So Greg and Michael are okay on it, I think it's okay, but if they have anything to say, they can.
Oh, this is Greg. I'd just say that it was an IPC issue per se.
Okay, so we're going to do that then, and I think Mary would have taken note of that, hopefully. So, Amr, I'm going to turn it back. Hello?
That was just me, Jay Scott. This is Mary saying, yes, we've taken note of that.
Great. Now I'm going to turn it back to Amr for the second point raised in his email today that is now number 2 on the right-hand side of the screen.
Yep. Thanks, Jay Scott. Amr again. This is just a text issue in the latest draft of the report. There was an agreement on last week's call in the description of GIP and GGP to include non-binding input into the description of GIP and to sort of remove any sort of adjective describing the guidance in GNSO and the GNSO guidance process, the GGP, so read the GGP to be used in those instances for which the GNSO Council intends to provide guidance that is required to be considered and taking out anything that sort of suggests either obligatory or binding or non-binding there. And I agree with that. I just wanted to note that this change was reflected in page 5 of the report, but later on the same language is repeated on page 19, and as far as I could tell, the change was not reflected there. So I just wanted to flag that.
Thank you. Chuck, is that a new hand?
It is, Jay Scott.
All right.
I just wanted to point out that in the call before this call, Marika acknowledged that those things needed to be carried forward, not only in this one, but I think in number 3. So she appreciates those catches, Amr, and we'll get those, as I understand it. Mary, please correct me if I'm wrong on that.
No, Chuck, that's absolutely correct for both this point and the next one as well.
Okay, great. It's Summer again, so I don't need to go over number 3 then. Thanks for that, Chuck.
Okay, Amr, do you want to explain your number 4? I think this has to do with the timelines that were discussed for most of the majority of last week's call.
Yes, that is correct, Jay Scott. Last week's call, I think there was quite some discussion on sort of what the statistical sort of presentation of the timelines and how they would be presented. There was agreement that the median of each one of the timelines for each one of the processes be included, as well as the minimum minimum possibility for each one. And as far as I could tell, they were calculated accurately. I was just also going to suggest, and I think Marika has suggested this as well, is that only indicating the minimum may be a bit misleading in terms of someone who's reading the final report. There may be some possibly unrealistic expectations on how long some of these processes could or would actually take when being used. And I thought a range would be a better value to put in instead of the minimum estimations, and perhaps may explain under what circumstances the minimum estimation would take place, under what circumstances the maximum estimation would take place. And I thought that would provide a more realistic or a more thorough sort of guide to the timelines for each one of the processes. Thanks.
Okay. Right.
John.
Chuck?
Sorry about that. On mute. Amr, my reaction was the same when I first looked at this, and I kind of liked the range, too. But the more I thought about it, the more I was concerned about showing the maximum. Because, first of all, it's not really a maximum. It's the longest one took, and they can always take longer. But also, the maximums get to such extremes that, you know, there's just a few examples where they took terribly long period of time. And I'm not sure, I think that can be even more misleading than the minimum and the median. But I'm not opposed to changing that. I just think I want to throw that out for us to think about, because maximums can be even more misleading, I think.
Okay, Amr, your hand.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Chuck. I think that's a pretty rational concern. And so maybe if not including the range and only including the minimum estimation, maybe just some clarification to sort of hint to readers of the final report that these are indeed the minimum estimations and they could possibly take longer. But I'm just worried about building expectations around these estimations too much, and in retrospect, after the processes are used, I'm concerned there may be some sort of disillusionment of what people might have expected versus what might actually happen. So I think it would be a good idea to just indicate that although these are the minimum estimations, there's no guarantee that they will actually be applied every time one of these processes is used. Thanks.
Alan?
Thank you very much. I don't know what words Marika's planning to put in on the minimums, or maybe how already has, because I didn't look at any revisions. But the minimums are clearly, and I'm sure that there will be words that go along with this, the absolute minimum. They are completely unrealistic. They will never likely be achieved. But they set the expectation that it cannot be less than that. And that was the purpose for putting the minimum in. That if your target is to do it in 2 months, and the absolute minimum that is completely unrealistic because it allows for no real deliberation time, no debate, no substantive time for drafting, is 6 months, then there's no point in using that process if you need a result in 2 months. And that was the reason for the minimum, not to set expectations as to how long it will take, but to set expectations as to how long it cannot take, because the minimum cannot go, you can't go below the minimum. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay, I think that it's clear that what we need to make sure we do is that we put some sort of explanatory text that explains this. And I think that's something that can be done fairly easily, that we explain, because I do agree with all points considered. I do agree with Alan to say that you don't, and it's all about managing expectations. And so we just need to clarify that these, you know, estimates are just that, and and explain why we put this in there and put that at the beginning of the table so that the information, the purpose of the information is clearly defined and it doesn't set any false expectations that lead to disappointment or disillusionment with the processes. I think that's what I hear from Amr, and I see that Cheryl agrees, and we just need to make sure, you know, if we're providing information and we want it to have a message, tell them the message we want it, we're trying to give them. And Amr agrees as well, so I think staff, that's our action plan, is to put in some short, concise, explanatory material that sort of sets that out. All right. Now, moving on. We ended the call in Annex F, and in that there had been an addition by Marika about sort of the purpose of the ED, I'm not going to get it right, EDDP, and that it couldn't be used for certain purposes. And Chuck had raised the question because he was a bit confused about that question. So Marika explained, and Chuck understood, and then I think Chuck asked the question, well, shouldn't we also have similar language in some of the other annexes, because we don't want the abuse to happen with either of those processes either. So the first that I see that it's been added to is Annex D. But someone tell me if it's earlier than that. But I see in Annex D, Paragraph 1, GGP Manual Introduction, there's a highlighted, you have the power to scroll yourself, so it's on page 51 of 91. And I see that this has been added, and as Chuck had requested, it's been slightly massaged to make it fit with the paragraph it's been inserted into, which is here it replies to the GGP. And the language is, the GGP should not be used as a tool to reopen a previously explored policy issue only because a constituency or stakeholder group did not like the outcome of a previously held process on the same policy issue. Unless the circumstances have changed and or new information is available. So, does anyone have any comment about this? Are we comfortable with adding it here? I certainly think if you're going to put it in one section, if it's applicable to the others, we need to make this stuff as templatized or formalized as possible so that things begin to look the same and you sort of get people to understand what's expected. But I see we have some hands up, so I'm going to go to Alan first and then Amr at this point.
Yeah,
Alan?
My comment is just a very small editorial one. I would change did not like to was not satisfied.
Okay.
Was not satisfied with.
Okay.
It just has a more professional sound, and I don't like it.
I'm fine with that. Amr?
Yep, thanks, Scott. This is Amr. Yeah, I agree with Alan. I think that's a good editorial change. This was actually the third point that I had raised in my email, and as far as I could see, the changes were made in the annexes for both the GGP and the EPDP, but they were not made in the description of the EPDP earlier in the report. I think on page 19. But my understanding is that this was something that was discussed earlier and that would be changed. I think, yeah, the description of the GGP is on pages 19 and 20. So I think that's where this little bit is missing over there, but I'm guessing that change is actually going to be made. Thanks.
Sure. This is Jay Scott again for the record. I would suggest that this is important enough that this somehow needs to be highlighted. It may be even called out in a colored box in our executive summary. I really believe this is an important point. I just think it's essential that this is clear to everyone. There are a lot of bruised feelings about the GTLD process. That's why we find ourselves here. And I just think it needs to be very clear that that's what we're doing. I see that Amr and Cheryl and Chuck agree. I see Alan has his hand up. But I just think it really needs to be emphasized, because some people are only going to read the executive summary, and that just needs, I think that's a very salient point. That's my personal point of view. Alan?
I thank you. I just wanted to point out, before we were talking about setting expectations, let's be honest. Circumstances have changed, or new information available is a very subjective thing. So if we think that no one's ever going to try to use this because they didn't like, and I'll use that expression, didn't like the outcome, and claim something has changed or new information has come to light, that's life. So let's not set our expectations too high that by adding this phrase we fix the problem. But I don't think there's anything we can do about that.
Okay, I agree. But, I mean, we're legislating for the future, which is the most difficult of all jobs. So understanding that weakness exists in all texts that we might put together. I see a bunch of hands raised. Mary, did you take that action item to put that in our executive summary and make that clear? I even think it should be called out in like a colored box so it's very clear.
Jay Scott, this is Mary. Yeah, we did take note of that, and we have no problem doing the colored text box. I guess the question that I would have is whether there are other salient points, not necessarily just this one, that we might need to do that for as well. So I guess if we can ask, as folks go through their final read, to keep an eye out for that as well, that would be helpful.
Yes, I would agree. If we could have something that was sort of a, you know, encapsulate sort of the most important points we're trying to convey into like an outline for a 2-minute elevator speech, that's what we want to go in that executive summary for the lazy reader. So if they're only taking away 5 things, here are the 5 things they take away. All right? So that had finished, and I believe that was Annex F, and we had gotten to Annex F, so I'm pulling down there, and that was, get me down to E, Annex F. So at this point, I ask if anyone has any comments regarding the document after page 64 of 91, which is the first page of Annex F, as in Frank. So then, are we in good shape at this point to have this finalized and sent around for a final read in the hopes that by next week we can sign off on this and let it be circulated to the constituencies? Mary Wong, is that your hand, new hand?
Yes, it is, Jay Scott. And while we have folks on the call today, there were some comments that Marika inserted in this draft that I'm not sure if everyone's had a chance to go through it, but it might be worthwhile going through them because they
Absolutely.
Do concern, you know, for example, bringing the process back to the council, which, as we recall, was kind of a major point for the group earlier on.
Well, why don't you lead us through those? Because I have to tell you, I didn't find this version until about 10 minutes before the call. I was working on the one, I was listening to last week's conversation, so I was looking at last week's draft. I didn't find the new draft till after I finished that call. So if you'd lead us through, that'd be great.
Sure, I'd be happy to, and I totally understand. I think everybody's pretty overwhelmed, and this is a pretty long and detailed report of quite a lot of changes from the last version that was circulated. So, Chuck, I know that you will stop me if I'm going beyond something that I skipped over, but I believe that the issue that I mentioned would be in what would be flagged in this version as comments 2 through 5, pretty much, in the sense that we want to make sure that what we have in Annex I, for example, which is the consensus policy implementation framework, ensure that it aligns with the proposed process for taking issues back to the GNSO Council. And so if I could just point folks first to Annex I, which I will scroll down, but so you have scrolling ability as well. And I don't know if you can see it on the page. It might be helpful if you have it on your screen. And it would be in Section Roman 3 under Roles and Responsibilities, alphabetized as D under the Implementation Review Team. So this is about the IRT being expected to serve as a resource.
Mary, it's Alan. What page are we on?
Let me see.
I have 76 of 91.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Jay Scott. Apologies, Alan. In the PDF version you have up here, that would be the page number.
And it's D as in dog, correct?
That's right. And so the sentence here says that the IRT is expected to serve as a resource to staff on the background and rationale of the policy recommendations. And our comment here is about the next part, which says, and return to the GNSO Council for additional guidance as required.
Well, isn't that the whole purpose of the other processes? Is that when you go back, they use one of those processes?
Yes, and that's why the next few comments are pretty much along the same lines. For example, in terms of the role of the liaison and the escalation. So this is not so much specific about the language, but as in whether all of these fit together with what the working group had in mind. Thank you, Jay Scott. There's no one else who has any concerns about either the phrasing or anything like that. I guess we can move to the next comment. Alan,
Alan has raised his hand, Mary.
I'm not sure I have a concern. Return to the GNSO Council for additional guidance as required. I normally like the expression as required because it says use common sense. But I'm not sure it's sufficient here. The time when the IRT would go back to the GNSO Council, I think, is when something comes up where clearly the policy was not specific enough to affect the implementation. And I'm not sure that's captured by as required. I'm willing, if everyone else thinks it is, I'm willing to drop it, but I'm feeling just a little bit of discomfort.
Alan, this is Mary. Not to put you on the spot, but do you have any alternative formulation in mind, or should we just try to rewrite this?
I think I just said something that I no longer remember that sort of covered that. And return to the GNSO Council for additional guidance when and if the original policy lacked specificity or something like that.
Thanks, Alan. We would.
If everyone else is comfortable with it, I'm willing to leave it. I'm normally the one who puts in phrases like as required or as appropriate. I just had a little twinge of unease, but I'm not adamant about it if everyone else is comfortable.
I see Marika's hand up.
And Jay Scott, at this point, I'm going to actually hand it over to Marika,
okay,
because these are mostly her comments, and so
okay,
she can probably do a much better job than I.
Thanks, Mary. Hi, everyone. This is Maria again, and apologies for joining late. It was a last-minute emergency I had to attend to. I just wanted to point out that the main reason why we flagged comment 2 is actually to make sure that this language is aligned with, you know, the comments we'll get to next on, indeed, this issue of, you know, what and how, if a certain issue is flagged, is this brought back to the council. So instead of maybe trying to wordsmith this here, it may make sense to first go through the other comments and see how, you know, where we settle on those. And I think this was more a kind of footnote, I think, for staff as well as the working group, to make sure that where we eventually end up, of course, needs to be aligned with what we've noted here.
Sure. You want to take us to the next comment then, Marika?
Sure. Let me just find where that is. So it's further down in the annexes. The next comment is comment 3 on page 86. And again, I think maybe it's worth running through the next two comments, because, again, as I said, I think they're all aligned with the same kind of issue or conversation on how something, you know, gets to the council and what then the council is expected to do with it. So basically, the comment here relates to the, I will first read the sentence, that the IRT is not a forum for opening or revisiting policy discussions. Where issues emerge that may require possible policy discussion, these will be escalating using the designated procedure, and we have there to be defined. So as I said, see all this in the next section. Should this section be more specific on how escalation happens in case policy issues are identified, or is a reference to section VE, if updated and also referring to this, sufficient? So if maybe I can then straight take you through to that next comment, which is on page 88. And again, this was a part that we had originally, I think, left open or as a to-be-defined item, and we've suggested some language here that we're basically asking your input on. So what we're proposing is that it would read as follows. So if the GNSO Council liaison makes the determination that there is consensus for such consideration, and I think in this regard it talks about, you know, disagreement between staff and the IRT, the liaison will inform the GNSO Council accordingly, which will deliberate on the issue and then make a determination on how to proceed, which could include, for example, initiation of a GGP, a PDP, or further guidance to the IRT and or GDD staff on how to proceed. So I think our question is, you know, first of all, is the working group comfortable with these steps in relation to where disagreement exists between staff and the IRT? And then the next question would be, indeed, if there is support for proceeding this way, if we should also, you know, write it in such a way that the same kind of approach would be applied if staff and the IRT agree that there actually is a policy question that needs to be considered. So there's not necessarily disagreement on how to approach implementation, but there's actually a policy question, or maybe as well a guidance question that neither the IRT or staff has a clear view on, but would like to have guidance on. Is this indeed the kind of process that then should be used for those kind of situations as well?
Any comments?
And this is Morgana, and I fully understand if people haven't had a time to maybe focus on this, so maybe this is one of the items that we can just, you know that people may want to just review in detail and come back to on the list, or, you know, just take a minute now to look through this. See that Cheryl is fine with it.
I tend to think it, I mean, that's the role that, this is J. Scott Evans for the record, this is the role that the liaison should play, since the GNS counselor is, the council is the manager of the process. So I'm fine with it.
I see Amar has his hand up.
Yes, Amar.
Thanks, Jay Scott. Thanks, Marika. It's Amar. I think I'm essentially fine with it.
Amar, I think we may have lost you. Amma, are you still there?
Well, it shows on mine that his microphone is still on, but we're not hearing him. If he can hear us, Amma, can you put your comments in the text chat?
Just wondering the section.
There he is.
Okay.
He's going to type it. So let's give him just a second to get his message typed in. And I will read it to the group. Sorry, this is taking a little bit, guys. We want to make sure we get everybody's input. Okay. Okay, he's going to dial in, he says. But he says, but just not sure the sentence in Roman numeral 5, letter E, is referring to disputes between the IRT members and the GDD staff. This comes later in Roman numeral 5F, doesn't it? In general, I'm fine with the language the way it is. So he's just saying the cross-reference is different. Marika?
Marika. Just to clarify, E does refer, and it's the first sentence, talks about in the event of disagreement between ICANN staff. But as we said, we may need to update this just to, it may not only be disagreement, because as well, maybe agreement between staff and the IRT that something needs to be taken back to the council. So I think that's something we may want to reflect here, that is not only a process that is used when there's disagreement, but also when there's agreement to actually go back to the council.
In other words, whenever there's need for additional action.
Exactly. And then section F actually deals with, and this is in response to one of the comments, and I think it was actually Amr that pointed that out, that this is a kind of similar provision that exists in the working group guidelines, where someone in the IRT, if they believe that they have been ignored or staff is not recognizing their contributions, that they have a way to escalate that issue to the GNSO, through the GNSO liaison to the leadership or chairs of the council to discuss. So this is basically the exact language as it also applies to GNSO working groups. And
that's right.
One comment we had made here is whether it would be appropriate to include a reference to the option to involve the ombudsman. And again, it's one of those where, that is, of course, always available. Is it necessary or worth to call that out here specifically? Or, is that overkill? And that's something that anyone always has as it's available to them.
Given that we have such a proliferation of documentations, this is J. Scott Evans for the record, I am inclined to say include it, because while someone who is very familiar might be aware of the ombudsman, if this is one of your first times, this may be the only document you have reference to that you can find, and so that it tells you that is additional information that's valuable. So I would err on the side of including it. I see that Cheryl agrees with me, because we've all dealt with people. This is the only document they have. They don't know the labyrinth of documents that are at their exposure. I see Amr agrees. So I think we should add it, Marika.
Okay. I've made a note of that.
All right.
And I think that's actually all of the staff comments, because the other comment in here is just to know that we've added here the same kind of language as previously on, noting that it's not to reopen previous issues or issues that were already belabored and certain groups feel strongly about them. So
yeah. Okay. So at this point, does anyone have any additional comments? Have we covered everyone's comments? I see Chuck, your hand is up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks, J. Scott. Chuck speaking. I think we need to jump back up to comment 3 because staff asked a question there whether we should just refer to the section below or make a comment there. I just think we need to close that, and then I think we are probably close to finished.
Yeah, and this is Marika, and I actually had already assumed that, you know, on our conclusion on the other section that we would just refer here to the other, to the section VE as updated to reflect as well that it could be as well issues that may require possible policy discussion.
That work. This is Chuck. That works for me.
Great. So with that, I think we're at a point where staff can go through, make these additional changes, turn this around with the hope that we can give final blessing to this on our call next week, which I would hope would not be a full 90 minutes. If we could do that in about 30 minutes. Is everyone in agreement? Chuck, is that an old hand, new hand?
That's a new hand. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
You just wanted to suggest maybe we can, we might be able to do it on the list. If we gave everybody, and if everybody can comment on what is proposed as the final version by Tuesday of next week, we may not
yes.
even need a call.
I'm fine with that.
Now, we should leave it on there in case it's needed.
Okay? That's right.
It's easy
yes.
to cancel. And the goal would be then, if it's finished on Tuesday, that then I think, Marika, you will work with Amr. I think you're the council liaison, right? So we would then, Marika and Amr could work on a motion that could be submitted with this, or actually the document could be submitted first and then a motion could follow. I don't think it matters which way that happens. For them, and this would be for the meeting in Buenos Aires. Does that make sense?
I'm fine with that. Let's see if we have any. I see that Amr tends to agree. What I would do is, my suggestion is, and Marika, I'll get to you, is that we do this, and then on Tuesday, if we haven't heard anybody call, ask for a call, we put out a call for consensus on their final report, so we have it documented, and then we give that like 72 hours, and then we close it off. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm perfectly happy with that. Just one note. I did circulate this document on, you know, scenario planning, and I think someone actually suggested maybe that would be worth including it as an annex. So I just wanted to check whether others agree that that may be helpful to include as an example, or, you know, whether anyone objects to including that. I'm seeing green check marks, and I see Amr raising his hand.
Amr?
Yeah, sorry about that. This is Amr. I appreciate the scenario documents. I'm not particularly sure. I completely agree with what is being suggested, and I would think that there might be some. It wouldn't be so clear cut to recommend the processes that are being suggested in the document as solutions to the scenarios that were presented. I think particularly the one on specification 13 of the registry agreement. I think the way the board framed the question to the GNSO Council was that they were asking for something that a GGP would provide. But in answering the question, I would say that a GGP would not have been sufficient, because the way I see it, although no new contractual obligations were created for a certain type of GTLD registry, I think some consensus policies that resulted in contractual obligations might have been, some of these registries might have been relieved of them. So I'm not sure, for example, that a GGP is a process sufficient to address this or not, but the document suggests it might. So if we're going to include it as an annex to this report, I think we might need to do a little work on it. Thanks.
And this is Marika, if I can maybe respond to that, and I think that's why I specifically called out as well that you know, if the council wouldn't agree that a GGP would be appropriate and it did expect new contractual obligations or you know, changes to that, it could also have initiated an EPDP. And I think you know, the more important note is, I think actually the footnote I created, because I think in the new world after these recommendations are implemented, of course, there would be an implementation review team. So ideally, that issue would have already been dealt with at a much earlier stage and may still have needed or resulted in a GGP or an EPDP, but that would have been already a formal mechanism to deal with that and channel those kind of concerns. So, you know, Amar, if there's any further language that you would like to add to really make that clear that, you know, indeed, these are, and I think I did specify it, of course, these are just examples, and, you know, it doesn't mean that it would have gone this way. It's indeed the question that, I think for all these processes, it's really the question that the council needs to deliberate first on, you know, what do we believe is the most appropriate process, and there may not be the same answer for you know, every situation. So I think if there's any clarification we'd like to add, you know, feel free to suggest and I'll incorporate that.
All right. So that does give us something to pay particular attention to for the next draft is to look to see if there are some suggestions to the scenario document. And we can put that to the entire list when we send it out to ask if they want to add it in as a annex to this. I know it's been suggested by Ann. We can put it in. So, Chuck, is that your hand, sir?
It is. So rather than continuing to drag this out longer and longer, because I really think we need to get this in the hands of the constituencies and stakeholder groups as soon as possible, why don't we do as Marika suggested and just make sure that these examples that she's provided have the appropriate qualifying language at the beginning to say that, you know, like, for example, on the GGP example in Spec 13, that if it's agreed by the council that the that this doesn't change policy, then a GGP would apply as follows. If it is decided that it impacts policy, then a GGP would not work. But by putting the appropriate qualifications at the beginning of each of these tables, it seems to me that they would be helpful examples of how the processes could be applied. And as I think Ann requested, I think that'll be helpful to a lot of people, even if in the actual circumstance it may not work out that way. But just let's just put the proper qualifying language at the beginning of each one so that it doesn't, people won't assume that this is a definite example. It would have to be evaluated in the given circumstances. So does that make sense?
Well, it does to me.
Amar's a green check mark.
Amar's agreed as well. So let's do that then. So we've got our marching orders. Looks like I'm going to be able to give everyone back 30-something minutes of their day. So the idea, so we all understand it, is that this is going to be circulated with the changes we've discussed today incorporated. We're all going to take a final read in the hopes that we can, if no one makes a call on the list, doesn't state on the list that they want to have an actual call next Wednesday, we will cancel that call, and we will then issue a call for consensus around this document and leave that call for consensus open for a period of time. So with that, I'm going to bring this call to a conclusion. I'm going to thank everyone for their time, their hard work. I want to give special thanks to Chuck, who's taken on a lot of chairing as I sort of vanished into INTA air for a while. Appreciate everything he's done. And to the staff for their continuing dedication to assisting us bringing this thing across the goal line in time for Buenos Aires. Thanks, everybody. Speak with you online. Hopefully that's all we'll need to do. Hopefully by end of next week we'll have consensus on this and we can get it out. Have a great day.
Yay. Thanks, Chris. Scott.
Thanks, Chuck. Thank you.
Thanks, all. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Marion, if you can please stop the recording. Once again.